Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Steve Butella here for Land Academy. Welcome to our Cash Flow from Land show. In this episode, Jill talks about being the class clown in high school and what we generally got out of that experience. Jill, I think this is going to be one of those shows that we don't talk too much about real estate. My favorite kind. Well, sort of. Well, before we get into this class clown business, let's take a question. What do you say?
Okay. Jackie from Wisconsin called in and asked this question, which this comes up. I love it. How do I find GPS coordinates for the land that I am buying? Steven, I know you did a YouTube video. I went back and found it from May.
I did?
You did. A YouTube video, May of 2015. It was pretty easy to search and find when I was looking for us. You know, I had to put in Land Academy, but it popped right up.
So what did I say? Did you watch it?
I started to. I remember it. So no, you get into. I remember the video very well.
Oh, okay, good. Mm-hmm. I thought the 30-second attention span just kicked in, and you probably watched about, I don't know, 20, 30 seconds of it.
I remember it. Thank you.
So how do you do it?
I'm asking you. You did the video. You did the video. You do it.
Okay, so the old school way is you get a plat map from the state, from the county where you buy the property. And, you know, you find out what the meets and bounds coordinates are and blah, blah, blah. That's the old school way to do it. The new school way is to very simply type in the APN or the assessor's parcel number, which is how the county keeps track of taxes and sending tax bills and assessing the value of the property. So the actual value of the taxes, type that into Google Earth Pro. And then it pops right up for you. But somebody told me recently, and I haven't confirmed this, that one of our members told us that Google Earth Pro is discontinuing that. Do you know anything about that?
Mm-mm, I haven't looked it up yet either.
So if that's the case, the world has progressed since the world of plat maps, or you know, since the age of plat maps. So 9 times out of 10, you're going to go to the county wherever the property is, and you're going to type in, you're going to go to what's called a GIS map. Most counties have them, almost all of them now, I guess. A few of the rural ones don't. And you can either type the APN in there, or you can look at it. If it's got a street address, you can find it. So it's not something typically that happens in just a few seconds, even for seasoned people like us, mm-hmm. but you will find it. Mm-hmm. And if you're really struggling with it, reach out to us and we'll help you, or go into Success Plant and ask how to do it. Cause there's a lot of people there that
are doing it.
We all go through the same things, all of us here at Land Academy. So any question like this, that's very technical, you're going to get a very quick response in Success Plant.
Mm-hmm. A lot of help. What's interesting to you, some of the counties are so progressed that I've had them where you can put in the APN, you can put in a street address if there is one. You can even put in like owner information.
Yeah, owner information.
The owner
name,
and it'll even pull up a property.
That's right.
So cool. So I am not worried at all. And you know what? And the thing is, you just maybe have to do a little bit of digging. It might take a teaspoonful of effort. I love that Seth Williams quote now. That's like, I should put that on my wall here, but it's, don't give up. Sometimes I think people, I'm like, they're like, I can't find it. I can't find it. I'm like, did you spend some time even trying? It's not that hard. You know, just take some time and look around.
Exactly.
You'll find it.
Hey, you know what's great about that too is you're going to learn a lot more than just where the property is. You're going to mm-hmm. learn about the county, stuff that you never imagined. You know, every county, especially some of these rural ones and the ones out west here, and certainly the ones out east, they're rich in history, and you know, find out celebrities were born there and all kinds of crazy stuff that you can actually include
in your description.
When you go, when you go to sell the property. So it's a good reason to go to the county website and start rooting around and finding out what's really going on in that area where if you're buying property there.
Mm-hmm. And once you get to know that county, if you're doing what we teach and coach and recommend, you know, you're buying a bunch of properties, you're reaching out to a bunch of owners in that area and that county, you're going to get to know that county and that mapping system really easy. You know, I mean, once you get it, you're that's it. You're done. because you're going to spend a lot of time in that county probably buying who knows how many properties. So we don't, that's one thing that's true when we talk about our mailers and the data. It's like, you're not sending one here, one there. You're canvassing a whole area.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So if you're lucky enough to get 10 or 20 or 15 or some number of properties all in one county in one area that are close to each other, it just makes it that much easier to do the research and put the maps together.
Mm-hmm. Especially, I love it when I have buyers that they own five in a row. I'm like, oh, yeah. Talk about easy.
It's Jill great. And I are in the process of putting together, it's a virtual assistant program. I don't know what we're going to call it yet, but where we take all the work out of this for you because we're all, like I said, we're all doing the same things together. Mm-hmm. So we eventually, and it's not going to happen overnight, but we will have a program where you can use our people, and the service is certainly not free, but you can use our people to get pictures done and to actually close the deal, do the deal analysis, and do what we call this engineering, the engineering phase of it. So we can help with that too at some point. Mm-hmm. Some people just don't want to do that. And I really get that, actually. They just want to be, spend their time making deals.
You said be the money people?
Yeah.
So.
All right. So do you think we answered that?
Yeah. Okay. I think that was great. Well, basically, we can't go into showing you how to do it right now, obviously on a podcast. But I can tell you about Google our YouTube video on it. You can really see Steven doing it, screenshots.
Oh, right, yeah.
I mean, it's really great. And
what are the keywords? Just Land Academy GPS?
I think I put in how to find property. I think I just put in how to find a property at Land Academy.
Oh, good. Okay.
In YouTube. It was really that easy. I searched for that and it popped right up. It's like the fourth thing. I'm like, okay, it's right there. Because then I cut and paste it to the people that reached out to. It was in Success Plant that they were talking about this.
Oh,
a few of them were kind of. So I helped them out and said, here's the link.
Excellent.
Go here. So really good.
What's this class clown business?
Well, you brought that up. I don't know. You were, sweetheart. Steven, you were way more of a class clown than I did. So I think that's kind of funny that you're throwing it at me. Because we all know the truth about that.
No, we don't.
Yes, we. I'm telling you now.
An earlier show that we recorded, you said, oh, yeah, I was a class clown.
Well, in some areas, yes, but I wasn't a fundamental four-year, all 4 years as class president class clown like you were. So.
Oh, then you're going to bring all that up too.
Yes. So.
What did you get out of high school in general? How was that whole experience? What's it like to go to high school
in Southern California?
A couple of hundred yards from Disneyland, literally.
I had a blast. Well, our senior party was at Disneyland, of course. So I had a blast. We would go there for fun. We would go there to go dancing and meet guys. It was really
fun. Did you go surfing when you were a kid?
The water's kind of cold. I don't really surf. I body surf. The only time I really surfed is I tried it in Hawaii once and said, yeah, I'm okay. So.
I guess what I'm getting at here, Jill, is that you had the childhood that everybody dreams of Southern California, like right in the movies, from the Musketeers, whatever, bonfires on the beach and stuff.
Yeah, it was really fun. I could get up with my girlfriends and we could, back before we could drive, and it was very safe. We would take the public bus and go straight down, Beach Boulevard and head to the beach and spend the day by ourselves at the beach if we wanted to. So my mom would take us all the time, though. She loved the beach. So I was there virtually every weekend anyway. So loved it.
Give us a good story.
Okay. I remember riding the bus one time. Riding the bus to the beach and longing to be able to drive. And I remember sitting, it was at Balboa Island in Newport. We went down there and we were sitting at the bus stop and we're watching all these cool cars pass us. I'm thinking someday, I'm going to be able to drive myself. I couldn't drive back then. And I'm sitting at that bus stop just with my girlfriend waiting. And it was funny. So it wasn't. And then it was funny because later on, a year and a half or so later, when I got my license and I got my first car, I remember driving by that exact bus bench, pausing and looking and remembering that time. And I had arrived. So it was funny. What was really funny was I was driving a red Mustang convertible. That's the other thing. It wasn't mine. I got to rent it. I talked my dad into renting cars. I'd save up money and I'd talk him into renting me really cool cars, and he'd let me do it. And I got to drive him around when it, you know.
This is why you're such a happy, well-adjusted person.
Yeah. And I remember driving this red Mustang convertible right by that stupid bus stop and looking at the two girls that were sitting on the bus stop in our place at that time. It was really fun. So.
Maybe they weren't really there. Maybe they were really you and your friend.
That's right. Or just it was just a vision.
Yeah.
That was us. That could be. So I loved it. You know me, and I love the beach, and I love getting out there, and I love the people and the attitude, and it's good stuff.
Do you ever sneak out of your window at night when you're that age?
No, but I snuck people in.
What? What's that all about?
I snuck a guy in once.
Oh, my gosh, Jill.
I did do that. So, yeah. It wasn't an overnight thing. We snuck in for a little while, so no one did sneak out. No, okay, so let's...
The stuff I learn about you on this show.
Let's talk about you now, Stephen.
I don't want to.
What was your childhood like?
This is all about you.
No, what was your childhood like? Tell us a good high school story about you.
Oh, man, I was... I was a class president all 4 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I was involved in that somehow all 4 years. But what it did, it got me access to the principal and the vice principal. I was on real good terms with them, so I could just pull shenanigans and get away with it. I had access to keys and data and all kinds of stuff that I should never have had access to at that age.
Oh, great.
And I used it for stuff. You can only imagine how I used it.
I can imagine how you used it. Was there a financial benefit or was there a girl benefit?
No. It's just pranks and silly stuff like that. It wasn't. No, I can't. The stuff that went on in high school is. I can't talk about it on the air.
Let me ask this. Were the teachers all cool with it? Like, yeah, well, it's just Steven. Or were they like, oh no, Steven's doing something again. Were you like untouchable in a cool way?
You know,
or were they kind of like ticked because you had it in, you were in with the right people?
I was never disrespectful. And I think that's the big difference between some stuff that goes on. Well, really probably throughout your life. I was always respectful for all of that. So at least right in front of them, I was very respectful. So, and it wasn't like insincere. It was just, I don't know. I got to do what I wanted.
Yeah. You still are that way. You know what? You make that happen, which is a good thing, though. It's really good. You still walk around pretty much doing whatever you want all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
No, in
that
a good way.
Awful.
No, in a good way. I mean that. It's a positive thing.
That's what's hard about working for other people. You know, if that's in your blood to do things like that, you just eventually have to have your own company.
That
or the right
makes
partners,
sense.
Or all of that.
That's a good point.
And yes, I was a class clown, actually.
Well, I'm waiting for, give us one G-rated story, please.
Oh,
I gave
man.
You one.
I didn't know I had to come up with stories on the show.
I gave you one. Think of one that not going to come back, that no one's going to come back and find you and go, we knew it was you.
I look back on that, and we didn't really ever do anything super bad, but I'll tell you what. And if our kids pulled this, I don't think I would be real happy about it. But there was just a lot of drinking in my high school.
Got it.
All the time there's drinking.
Well, you guys had a lot of access to a lot of – you were growing up in high school, a pretty affluential environment. And you guys had access to a lot of stuff, it sounds like. And the parents were traveling a lot. So there was a lot of free time.
Yeah. All right. I'll tell you a couple stories. Detroit is set up geographically just north, believe it or not, of Windsor, Canada. So you could take the bridge. You still can. The bridge or the tunnel over there. This is obviously way before 9/11. So there's really no security at all. And the drinking age was 17 or 18 years old then. So that was a frequent thing for us to do. You could just go over there. And everybody knew that we were doing it. I mean, did you do it? Los Angeles isn't close enough to Mexico to do that frequently.
No, not like that.
Plus, you don't really want to go to Tijuana anyway.
Yeah. We would go down there. It would be an event if we go down there, but we'd do that.
So my buddy had an uncle who lived in Canada, and he would frequently supply us with what stuff that we needed. And at times, we would resell it for profit. But, I mean, we thought about doing that. We didn't actually do it.
That's funny. We're just going to say that. Got
so,
it.
You know,
but you're providing a service.
Yeah, right. No, so about that, I've had multiple friends where I never met their parents. I think I mentioned that to you or somebody else recently in high school. Like they lived with their grandparents, but I never met them. So there was a lot of just, it was a free for all.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
So we could, I guess if we had different personalities, we would have really, I'm sure, gotten in a lot of trouble. But I still keep in touch with a lot of those guys, and they all went out and did some real good. I mean, without exception, every single one of them.
You know what was kind of cool back then too? I'm sure you had this also. It's like we couldn't really get in a whole lot of trouble, that we didn't have access to a lot of stuff, or at least in my little world, I didn't. You know, and there are times that, yeah, the authorities or maybe someone getting, well, all right, we're going to get everybody home now.
Right.
You know, or even if you're having a party at your house, it was kind of a, all right, let's calm it down, everybody. Let's stay inside. Nobody's going anywhere. It was much more, it was a different world. And I liked that. I appreciate that. You know, I would hear stories of people in small towns where they would be picked up and they would just be dropped off at their house, in those times. That was good.
You know, I say this to the kids all the time. You've heard me say it, Jill. These kids today, they have so much more responsibility than we do.
Right.
I mean, they have to sift through so much more stuff on the internet. And make different, I think, much tougher decisions because so much more is available.
It's true.
So, it was a simple time. You know, yeah. For me, it was the 80s.
Right.
So, my hat's off to the kids. Think about, I mean, they have a device in their pocket that can answer any question that they have about anything.
Well, and they can look at anything and see anything about how to do anything.
Right.
And who knows if it's right or wrong or good or bad.
That's right.
You don't know what information is the right information. So
yeah,
it's gotta be tough.
Right.
Very tough. So yeah.
So back to this class clown thing, because I've heard this from different sources that you were the class clown.
No, I wasn't the official class clown.
You weren't the guy, person in the back just making everybody laugh and get in trouble and get, during the class.
I would do that, but I wasn't the official one. I'm trying to think who would have been the official one. Like in the yearbook, it wasn't me.
Oh, me either.
No, but was I quietly doing it off to the side? Absolutely.
That's worse.
Were my friends following me around like cracking up? Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we were doing.
That's what I call a class.
So yeah,
class
we weren't. I didn't get caught. I was under the radar. I love being under the radar.
Me too.
So that.
Yeah, with this under the radar show that we do every day.
Yeah. Under the radar.
Irony.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Hey, join us in another episode where Jill and I discuss your all-important success in real estate investment and in life. It's hard not to incriminate yourself.
You know what I forgot to throw in there? I was just looking at my notes. I came by it naturally because my family would always play pranks on me. I mean, you name it. All kinds of... I mean, little things, leaving you somewhere, making you run behind a car and, just things be missing or, all kinds of just silly, good, funny stuff. But my family was not afraid to play pranks on each other. And so
I was talking to my sister recently and we were talking about this kind of thing. Same thing that we're talking about now. Mm-hmm. And she said, you terrorized me.
That's funny.
That's upsetting. I started to apologize. I didn't even remember, but aww. I guess that's a regular sibling
thing. You know, I thought it is a regular, trust me, it's a regular sibling thing. But I think that it made me a better person, though. I still think that, if you're too sensitive, you're walking around like, we know a lot of those people that are way too sensitive. And I'm like, how do you get around? I mean,
life. How do you get through life? That's right.
Jeez.
Yeah, let that roll off your back.
Exactly. No harm was meant. Let it go.
Right.
Kind of thing. And some people can't do that. So I look at it like having a younger brother who turned out to be much taller and bigger than me. So anything that I did to him, he got me back times 10. It toughened me up. And it's a good thing. Made me who I am today. So I appreciate it.
Can you imagine if you and I knew each other back then and started doing what we're doing now?
It would have been a disaster, I think.
No, I think it would have been. I think the stuff that we would have accomplished, I think it would have been amazing.
I was thinking we'd be goofing off all the time and hanging out at the beach and no work would be getting done. So I've always tried to avoid work, but I've always worked because I want to have money to do the fun things.
We define yin and yang about a lot of this.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I want a horse around too, but I got to get my stuff done.
So I just want to be able to afford to do what I want to do. That's the thing.
I think that you've accomplished that, Jill.
I would save up paychecks. I mean, save up. I used to go, this is way off topic, but I remember I was a big Depeche Mode fan. And I would save up and I would spend $600 back then.
Oh my God.
On a hotel room for a night so I could stay at the hotel where they are staying.
And what was the name of that hotel? I know what you're talking about.
The Sunset Marquee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's where like Led Zeppelin and all those bands.
They still stay there.
Yeah.
There's a sound recording studio there and stuff. It's a really cool place. Yeah, and I would go stay there frequently. Like, yeah, I think so, the staff
Jill,
knew me.
Do you know how cool that is, Jill? You're a liquid cool.
Thank you.
Even now, that is just crazy.
Do you know
crazy.
How many cool people I met?
Like, who'd you meet?
Oh, my gosh. Like, Bruce Springsteen and Annie Lennox and, you know, not only Depeche Mode. I didn't see them there. I'm trying to think who else. Paul King. Rick Astley, was that his name? I remember him. And that was a funny story because his dad was kind of, he was a young kid then. Mm-hmm. His dad's kind of bossing him around. It was really kind of funny. Poor, I felt sorry for him.
You just hang out in the lobby?
Well, and by the pool and you're having breakfast and you're in the bar having a drink. I was over 21. I could have a drink.
Sure.
And just the people you meet. And there were people like I didn't even know who they were. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, it was really cool. I got access to some great tickets and some great shows because I was there and I was nice and I was fun. And so my friends and I got to do a lot of cool stuff. That was good.
That's just, I mean, I'm speechless. That's how cool that is.
So
that's not what I was doing at that age at all.
I do miss living that close to LA. That was a good time. That was fun.
Cool. Good stories.
Thank you.
Let's go buy some property.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
Landacademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.